Good evening, everyone. I'm thankful to have this opportunity to share my heart with you guys tonight. I was asked not so long ago, about maybe a week or so ago, and I was told that I would have about 10 minutes and that the food would be waiting on my finishing. So I try to keep that in mind as I present something that the Lord has shared with me, and I'd like to share with you guys. Obviously, during this time of year, you know, there's a lot of focus on gifts. I mean, you know, underneath the tree, you see it all around us. For the world, of course, it's a big, you know, focus on materialism. You know, you've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Target Tuesday or whatever they keep coming up with. And of course, for us believers, we center our attention to the very core of our foundation, which is Christ, His birth. The fact that you cannot separate His virgin birth from the gospel. It took a sinless Lamb of God in order to die on the cross. So His very birth is the greatest gift to us. Like the famous, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And that by far is the greatest gift that I experienced October 4th, 1996. That's the day that I made Christ my personal Savior. He showed me that I was a sinner on my way to hell, that I had no righteousness of my own, but only His death, burial, and resurrection, His ultimate sacrifice on the cross is the only thing that can save my wretched soul from a devil's hell. And I'm thankful for that. However, tonight, I would like to draw our attention to another gift. Of course, James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father. So I would like to draw your attention to a passage in Joshua chapter 4. If you just want to listen or turn there, either way, that's fine. I'm speaking mainly tonight to those of us who are born again, those of us who have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, as Brother Pager mentioned in Sunday school this morning. Those of us are redeemed. And so in Joshua chapter 4, I'll read these passages, I'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll just bring you the message. Starting in verse 4, the context of the scripture, this is right before the overthrow of Jericho. So Joshua is basically commanding the children of Israel to cross the river Jordan. So in verse 4, the Bible says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want to focus your attention tonight on the gift of seeing God's work in your life. So let's have a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We're thankful that we can take heed to it, we can study it, we can learn it, Lord. We can live by it, Lord. We can get to know you better, Lord. We're thankful for Christ, for what he means to us, Lord God. He's the reason why everyone in here is here tonight, Lord, and we thank you for that. We pray you bless this message, Lord. I know it's ministered to me, and I pray that it would be a blessing and an encouragement and an exhortation for all of us to desire to see you work in our lives, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. As I thought about this message, I started thinking about, you know, what separates a true believer from other religions or cults or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not just a knowledge of their religion, of their God. I mean, there's people that are very well versed. They know the Quran. They know other books that they study. And so what is it that separates us from somebody who's devout? I've met very devout people in my life that didn't serve the only true and living God. They were, you know, they had standards. They had devotion. They had, you know, outward things, works that they performed. You know, even so more than some professing Christians who have the truth. So what is it that separates the true Christian from those people? What is that that's different about Christianity? Well, I believe that the difference is that number one, the very core of the gospel is that what makes Christianity different is that other religions teach some works-based salvation for our salvation. We're told that there is none that is good, that doeth good, and doeth not one. There is none righteous. But above that, I believe that the difference is that we have a true, we serve the only true and living God who wants to show himself strong in behalf of his people. And I believe that's the difference. It's like Brother Pagan in his Sunday school. We have a God that seeks to fellowship with us. He wants to be part of our life and us to just experience him, not just know about him from his word. But yes, that's important, but also trust and believe and experience that his word is true in our lives. And so that's kind of what I've been thinking about. If you think about it, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said that I may know him. He didn't stop there. He said, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. To know Christ is to know him in his power. And I believe it goes just beyond the transformed life, which we're thankful for, but I believe it's actually experiencing his power and fellowship with him. And sometimes that may be, you know, it may take different things as far as seeing God's hand work in your life. And I want to talk about that for a little bit. If you want to see God's hand work in your life, what does it require? And I believe sometimes it may require afflictions. Sometimes it may require conflict or just impossibilities. When we think about the very story of Christmas, I mean, what more impossible can you get? Here's a race that has been lost, condemned to hell, and we in need of a Savior, yet we need a sinless Lamb of God. We needed a sinless sacrifice, yet we know that we're fallen. The very story of Christmas shows us that we serve the God of the impossible, that he could overshadow Mary and have a virgin to bring forth his son for our sacrifice. So a lot of times it may require, you know, we may not like it, but it may require some affliction, some suffering, some persecution. I'm not saying that we go around trying to put ourselves in predicaments that, you know, put us in a bind or try to get God to bail us out. I'm not saying that we're going around in our lives seeking for a sign. I'm saying that in the normal course of life, if you're devoted, if you love the Lord, you're going to come across circumstances in your life whereby the only thing that can get you out of it is the hand of the Lord, to see God work and move in your life. That's the only thing that can do it sometimes. I mean, the Lord didn't part the Red Sea every day. Now, he does provide daily, and we're told that in the Lord's Prayer, but I'm talking about certain times in your life that these are stones or memorials that we should have as Christians, that we can look back and see and only be able to say it was by the hand of the Lord. But we can see that in our lives. I think another thing that it's going to require for us to see God work in our hands is it's going to require us to examine ourselves. I mean, there are times that a Christian can see the hand of God, but it's not in a good way. The Bible says, the arm of the Lord is not shortened, neither is his ear heavy, but your sins have separated you between you and your God. In other words, we have to make sure that our lives are lived in a way that we're daily examining ourselves to the Word of God so that nothing can hinder God blessing and working in our lives. We do not want to invite suffering and persecution because of our sins. Brother Adam's been dealing with that through his study in the book of Peter. So we want to make sure that if something does come upon our life, we don't want to be like, oh, is this a result of my sin? We want to have the assurance that we've been walking in the Lord and being cleansed by his word so that we know that if something does come our way, we can say the Lord is my help and he's my shield and my buckler and my help in time of need. It's going to require you to study not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with others. If there is something between you and somebody, I mean, I believe there unforgiveness is one of those sins that is not maybe mentioned as often as it should personally. But listen, you have bitterness or anything between you and somebody else, according to the Bible, you have to get that right. God has set some principles in his Bible that he has set forth in order for him to see him move in our lives. We have to take care of some things. And I think we have to establish a clean relationship with him, a clean relationship with others. We know the Bible talks about if a husband and wife, their prayers being not hindered, if there's something going on in between. So and this is to everybody, including myself, we have to make sure if we want to see God work in our lives, that we have a life that he can bless, a life that is examined daily through his word. Another thing that if we want to see his hand work in our lives is we need to have an attitude of expectation. You know, a lot of times, and I've been there, I'm preaching to the choir here, but a lot of times something comes our way and we get this, oh me, why me, poor me attitude. When the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Persecution, affliction, conflict comes, count it all joy. You can if you have an attitude of expectation. A lot of times, especially when Steph and I first got married, the first thing that my job did was cut back my hours. And we're like, okay, something unexpected would come, and we turn to each other. And not that this happened every time. Obviously, I've made some bad decisions, but we've been blessed to see God's hand. We look at each other and we're just, let's see what God's going to do. I mean, really, that's our hope and our faith. Is realizing that we have a God that hears and answers prayer. He's real, and we should be able to see that in our lives. And that's the heart of the message tonight. So Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, it is those experiences, those testimonies, those stones that as we experience them in our lives, when things come, we can say, hey, look, we've been through something like this before. He's provided. He'll do it again. It builds your faith. So it's something that encourages you. And when you talk to others, it's a blessing to others. It's an encouragement and exhortation to other people. Like the Bible says, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. When we share these stories or these memorials, these stones with others, that's what it's for. It's a ministry to help and edify the believers that, look, yes, God hears and answers prayers. And so, in conclusion, I told you I'd keep it short. One last thing I do want to believe. It's one of my favorite accounts, and Brother Todd mentioned it recently. Along with that, the attitude of expectation comes, we have to believe God. Not just believe in a God, but believe God, as was spoken recently. When Paul was being carried over by ship over to be brought before Caesar, and the tempestuous storm came and it looked like everybody was going to be shipwrecked and lost and the loss of life and all that, Paul said, hey, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. He didn't say, I believe in a God. He said, I believe God. And that's what it takes. We have his word. Let's believe it. Let's hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, the Bible says. Let us believe God. So I've just thought I'd take some time out to just exhort us to understand the importance of having these memorials, these stones in our lives. It is so important for children, my goodness. You hear about children growing up in good churches and going to Sunday school and going to Christian churches and all that. And you hear about them, as soon as they get to a certain age, they just go off. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the fact that in the home, they're not seeing the hand of the Lord. They're not seeing the parents really get to know God. God is not real. It's something you put on, you go to church, you come back, and you try to have good standards, but it's above that. This is God is your life. He is what you live and breathe and have your being from. And your children, all of our children, need to see that, the realness of God. That, hey, this is not just something that we cliche talk about. This is our life. This is the Lord God that we serve, and he's a powerful and mighty God. And Paul said he can still deliver you out of the mouth of the lion. So that's what we're talking about, experiencing God, just having these testimonies and memorials. Stephanie and I, we wish we would have started sooner, but we decided to take a little book, and I was going to bring it tonight, but it's just a little book, and we started writing down the testimonies of the grace of God in our life. And reading them to our children so that they can see that there is a real God and he works in our behalf and he's mighty to save and mighty to deliver. And not every time is a deliverance as we expected. Sometimes deliverance may come in death. Sometimes deliverance for those who may obtain a better resurrection. Sometimes deliverance may be grace to endure. Or maybe just some supernatural way of God either healing you or doing something great for you. But nevertheless, I exhort us to look back at our life and as we reflect around this Christmas time, and let it be that the true gifts that we cherish are the ones that we can look back and, and really say it was the hand of the Lord that did that. So let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we're excited about your word and how you work and move in our lives, Lord God. And we pray that, we humbly pray that, Lord, we know we're not worthy, Lord, but we seek your face and we seek your grace and mercy. And we seek to see you working in our lives, Lord God. And we pray that you would mold us and shape us in your word so that we can live a life, Lord, that is pleasing to you, that you can work on our behalf. Lord, like David said in Psalm 71, that the generation to come might see your strength and your greatness, Lord. And we thank you for all this in Christ's name. Amen.